The power of citizen science is explored in The Crowd and the Cloud, a four-part series, Sunday afternoons at 1 on WHYY-TV. This Sunday's episode explores efforts to fill the information and trust gap regarding the safety of Philadelphia water. And for that, let's get a preview with Crowd and the Cloud producers, Jeffrey Haynes-Stiles and Erna Akugano. Jeffrey, Erna, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thanks. Great to be here.
I'm happy to be here.
Please explain how this is a joining of citizen science, specifically in the digital age.
Well, citizen science is not brand new. Citizen science has been around. Ben Franklin actually was one of the first citizen scientists. So we're catching up now with what people have been doing for hundreds of years. And we now have new tools that they didn't have, which enhances what people are able to do as citizen scientists.
Though, truth be told, Benjamin Franklin was a citizen and a scientist, but this call out doesn't go out necessarily to those with science training, per se.
That's right. I think that the revolution in low-cost sensors and smartphones has made it possible for regular folks to get involved in capturing high-quality data and reporting it in a way which is useful for academic and government agency researchers. So the same program that has the Philadelphia Unleaded segment in it shows Trout Unlimited folks in north central Pennsylvania who don't have a scientific background, but they love being out in nature and fishing. And the innovations in sensors and technology means that they can collect absolutely research quality data that is valuable in terms of monitoring stream quality. So that's where the digital revolution really has empowered more and more people to become citizen scientists.
But then who in turn collects that data and organizes it?
You know, the citizens are out there getting the data, they're doing the footwork, but there are always protocols that they're following. In most citizen science projects, there are scientists who are working to create protocols that are consistent with what professional scientists are doing. So they'll be vetting the information, they'll be vetting the data, and then they'll be moving it over to other sources that are going to be able to utilize that data.
Specifically regarding the Philadelphia Water Testing Project, in addition to filling the information gap, I'm sure a large measure of the motivation was based on restoring a trust gap when people refer back to, say, Flint, Michigan. And one of the epiphanies was learning about what is and is not mandated in the Safe Drinking Water Act.
That's correct. In fact, you asked about social media and the digital revolution. The whole Philly Unleaded project actually started with a Facebook post when a couple of regular folks without particular scientific background, Tony Spagnoli and Jonathan King, responded to a question that came in from somebody, one of their neighbors, that said, well, how do we go about testing for lead in drinking water here in Philadelphia? Responding, as you say, to media reports that were worried about what had happened in Flint and applied that to Philadelphia. And they gradually reached out to more and more people, including folks that were part of the Witnesses to Hunger project. And the witnesses were obviously concerned about drinking water as well as food and poverty issues. And so you have this citywide collaboration between community folks who were concerned about finding out how safe their drinking water was. And so they reached out to researchers at Virginia Tech, the same folks that had been part of the testing in Flint, Michigan. And those researchers said, yes, we'd like to help you. We will work with you to create tests. And one of the high points, I think, of the Philadelphia Unleaded sequence in Crowd and Cloud is showing these citizens taking the testing protocols incredibly seriously and doing them exactly the way the EPA mandated.
And the other thing is that the Philadelphia Water Department had, in the past, the number of homes they were able to test was really low. It was below the standard. And so what the folks at Philly Unleaded wanted to do was to, you know, to bring in neighbors, to bring in people that they knew were interested in having these tests done. And they found they could get a lot more people than the Philadelphia Water Authority said they were able to access.
Can the Crowd and the Cloud serve as a substitute for this era where many aspects of science and scientists from the federal level, EPA, other scientific institutions, are being cut back? Can Crowd and Cloud fill in that gap?
It's hard to predict, but I think that's absolutely optimistic point for all of us. Waleed Abdulati, our host, is a former NASA NASA chief scientist, and Waleed, he said, you know, as a scientist, these guys are really critical. They are the boots on the ground. A lot of what we do is, you know, the big science work. But what we need is that granular data that we can't collect with satellites, that we can't necessarily collect because our budgets don't stretch that far. And that's where, you know, citizens can fill in those gaps. And there's plenty of gaps that need to be filled.
I think it would be hard to have citizens fill in for draconian, serious cutbacks in the federal support for science, which has really been one of the main drivers of the American economy ever since the Second World War. But I think getting involved in citizen science projects makes the participants aware of the value of science, makes them aware of the importance of a fact-based understanding of the world around them. And I think as more and more people become aware of that, they're going to want the federal agencies to do their job.
Thank you, too, for bringing these issues to light to our listening and viewing audiences.
Thanks very much. Glad to talk to you.
Thanks very much.
Jeffrey Haynes-Stiles and Erna Okugano, co-producers of The Crowd and the Cloud. You can watch this upcoming episode Sunday afternoon at 1 on WHYY-TV. The Philadelphia Water Department was not interviewed as part of the Citizen Science documentary, and the department says it has problems with how its response is portrayed in the film. It plans a more detailed response in coming days.